Thank you for that music. It's beautiful. It's nice to preach in Cumberland again, or be in Cumberland again. It was part of a circuit that my family used to be part of some years ago, and brings back memories, although we weren't right next to the railroad tracks watching the trains come by, but it's nice. Good to see everyone. In Luke 12, 1, you don't necessarily have to turn there, but Jesus identified a particular kind of leaven that the Pharisees had in their lives and in their doctrine, their teaching, and he said that he wanted his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He said it's hypocrisy. Now, would anybody like to define hypocrisy briefly? Anybody got any brave people here? I'd like to be interactive. We'll see how that works. What's hypocrisy? We don't have anybody with any experience here? There you go. Saying one thing and doing another. That's why. Anyone want to add to that? Yes?
The Greek word means actors.
Actors, an under-actor. Yeah, the second actor. Used to be in Greek drama, there was only one actor in this chorus, and they would interact. And then he came with a second one. That was known as the hypocrite, the under-actor. Anybody else? Okay. I've got a dictionary definition here. Feigning to be what one is not, or to believe what one does not believe. Now, we didn't touch on that. You could just pretend to believe something. But the point is, as we heard, it's something pretending to be something that you're not. But it's especially comes into play when you're pretending to have the appearance of some kind of virtue or religion. That's usually how we use that word. Now, if you have removed leaven from your lives, this kind of leaven, what do you replace it with? What do we learn in the Bible? What do you replace? You have the unleavened bread of, anybody? Unleavened bread of 1 Corinthians 5:8. Sincerity and truth. Thank you. Sincerity and truth. That's 1 Corinthians 5:8. You don't need to turn there necessarily, although we'll start there. Why do you need sincerity and truth? Why do you need both? Why not just sincerity?
Be sincerely wrong.
Be sincerely wrong. So there's a problem. Could be sincerely wrong. If we were to replace leaven with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, we need to know what sincerity and truth are. Today's message that I'm going to give just has to do with not truth. We're not going to deal specifically with that subject. But we will talk about sincerity, what it is, what does the word mean, and why is it important in our worship of God. So if you like a dictionary, anybody want to tell me what do you think? Sincerity is not quite as easy to define, is it? Anybody want to hazard a guess as to an English definition, definition of the English word sincerity? What you see is what you get. Okay. That's one way of putting it. Anybody else?
Heartfelt.
Heartfelt. Okay. There's a good one. The thing about the word sincerity in English is that it includes a lot. Heartfelt. What you see is what you get. Anybody got anything else? The interesting thing is when we look at Greek, which we will, the Greeks have more words to describe certain characteristics that end up being translated as sincerity. So sincerity in English has a broad meaning. In Greek, they had individual words that meant different aspects of that. So that's what we're going to look at. The dictionary definition of sincerity is to be sincere. That doesn't help you any. It means honesty of mind, freedom from hypocrisy, not being hypocritical. It's an opposite. Freedom from dissimulation, or honesty, being honest, being pure. What is dissimulation? That had to look that up. Hiding under false appearance. Not dissimulation, but eulation with a U. also means marked by genuineness. What you see is what you get. It's real. Okay. The Bible, the word, we have one word, or we have many words that are from Greek and also word from Hebrew. I'm not going to get into the Hebrew. Hebrew is kind of a language where one word can mean a whole lot of different things. But we'll stick with the Greek in the New Testament. But what we want to do is look at these words and specifically see what is important to God in our walk with Him and why sincerity is worth looking into. Why do we need this characteristic as part of our walk with God? And we'll see that there are some fine points in the definition of sincerity that we will pick up in the Greek that'll help us to understand the term a little better. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to have to put my glasses on back and forth, sorry. In 1 Corinthians 5:8, the word that's there, elikrima, something like that, it's translated sincerity. And there, we said the sincerity and truth, it means that particular word, the elekrina, means a purity of motive. Okay, so now we get into motivation, which is a big part of sincerity, at least the way it's used in the Bible. I do want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 5:8 because I want to see the context. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8. Why was he bringing up sincerity in that verse? Because if we look before that, what verses do we want to look at here? Beginning in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It was reported commonly, I'm using King James today, that there's fornication among you, and so much is not named among the Gentiles, and one should have his father's wife. Then he says in verse 2, and you are puffed up, and haven't rather mourned. So they had an attitude that he wasn't approving of. They had a certain attitude and approach that was motivating their actions, and he didn't like that. In verse 9, he says, I wrote to you an epistle not to accompany with fornicators, and he's not talking about in the world in general, he's talking about within the congregation, within the fellowship, that there needs to be certain discipline. Not just that sin, but you don't tolerate open type sin and then somehow rationalize it in your mind that somehow you that it's okay. And that was a part of pride for the Corinthians. They were tolerating sin and defending it in a way, defending the brother, and almost had the attitude like, we know better. And Paul says, that's not a purity of motive. That's the wrong motivation. You're coming at it from the wrong angle if you worship God that way. Song that I really like from Nickel Creek, in the chorus, she sings, others have excuses, I have my reasons why. Is that true? Others have excuses, but you have your reasons why. I have my reasons why. Our motives aren't pure. And that's that's what Paul's dealing with here. You got your reasons why, but they're not acceptable to God. They're really excuses, okay? They're not reasons why. that word is used two other places, both in Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, I'll just turn there for sake of completeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and also to see what they're compared to. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, that the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conduct in the world and more abundantly to you work. So here, Paul is contrasting fleshly or worldly wisdom with this godly characteristic of having a purity of motivation. And again, that's what the Corinthians had, didn't they? At least in the first letter, when he's addressing them, they had a worldly wisdom. They had a worldly rationale and reasoning. But Paul says, it's just an excuse, and it's not an acceptable excuse. And if you're in 2 Corinthians, you can look at chapter 2 and verse 17. It uses the word again. If I read my notes right, 17, it says, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, he's saying it's a godly sincerity. That's the way the New American Standard translates it, a godly sincerity. But he's comparing that or contrasting that to those who might corrupt the word of God, to take the word of God and twist it, to make our own selfish reasoning out of it. And we do that. I do it. I catch myself doing it. I ask God to show me. And I imagine it, it's just a human condition, and that you have found yourself doing that at times as well. Now, just for the sake of covering the word completely, you've probably heard the etymology that sincere means without wax, that it used to be that you maybe have a defect in your stone and you put wax in there to cover it up and you can put it out in the sun and see it melt and that would show. That's probably a folk etymology. It's probably not true. The Latin word means probably pure, of one composition, and it's from the Latin and in the French that we get to the English sincere. The Greek word sounds a little bit more like that because the Greek word for this particular word for sincere has to do with being seen as pure in the light of the sun or the heat of the sun. It seems to say that. I mean, nobody was around figuring that out back then in terms of the etymology, but that's the best guess now. But the sincere being without wax is probably just a story. It makes a good point, but don't trust it etymologically. The Greek word is more like it's true in broad daylight. Okay, you can see clearly because it's true in broad daylight. In Latin, by the way, the definition, or what came to be, what we know as sincere, that word has to also includes the concept of purity, being of one composition. Okay, and we'll find that also in the Greek here, being of one composition. So that's one word. That's the only three places that word's used. It includes in the concept of sincerity a purity of motive, having that right heart, doing things in the right way, okay, and for the right reasons. The second word I want to look at, we can find in 2 Corinthians, if you're there, and we'll turn to chapter 11, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Simplicity. That word is sometimes translated sincerity in different translations. And that's another word, if you like Greek, this is apolotis, and it means simplicity or singleness. Singleness, you know, one purpose. And simplicity more meaning one purpose, not simple that you're stupid, but simple that you are uncomplicated. Okay, it's a difference there, right? Uncomplicated. And I'll get back to that in a closing comment. Didn't realize I would, but I will. So it has to do with New American Standard says a purity of devotion. And once again, not these complex machinations that our minds do or our hearts do, we say, you know, that lead to hypocrisy, but a simplicity. And you know, there are verses that talk about a simplicity in Christ. That's an interesting concept. And it has to do with this purity, it has to do with this genuineness and a purity of motive. excuse me. This word's also used in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. And I'll read that one. Ephesians 6 and verse 5 talks about servants being obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. You know, serve your masters, serve your bosses as you serve Christ. That's repeated in Colossians 3:22, almost word for word. The point is that, and the New American Standard translates that into English as the word sincerity. Singleness of heart, singleness of purpose, you know, being pure, not having all these different motivations and trying to accomplish complicated things in order to serve the self, but just being simple and genuine. What you see is what you get. This is real. This is what's on the outside is what's real on the inside. So it's also saying not hypocritical, right? It all connects together. So simplicity or singleness, we have purity of motive. Now we have a simplicity or a singleness or a single composition, one purpose, and the right purpose. That word also, at times, is translated generosity because the word has a separate meaning, if you happen to look that one up. There's another word that's used in the Bible, in the New Testament, and it's translated sincerity. I think it might only be translated sincerity once, I'm not sure. But since while we were in 2 Corinthians, I'll go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So the King James uses the word sincerity there, sincerity of your love. That's even a different word. It's nasios, and it has to do with belonging or sonship. You could define it as belonging to the race or belonging to the family. It literally means a true son as opposed to an adopted son. Now, legally, we talk about adoption, that you become legally the son, and then it's the same thing. In the Roman world, those of you that have studied it would know this, that adoption, especially it was done for political purposes. Julius Caesar adopted Octavian to be Augustus, you know, he would be the next Caesar. Well, so that's how it worked. Was he a son? No. He was just this promising character that Julius Caesar wanted to succeed him, and he adopted him. And that becomes the official way of passing on whatever influence you have, whatever power you have, whatever possessions you have. And it wasn't uncommon to do that. But that was an adoption. It counted legally. But it was distinct from being a real son, okay, in a sense. It was distinct from being a true biological son, put it that way. We understand that. Well, the word came to be used as something that's genuine or true, okay? It's not a put down of a distinction between one who's adopted and one who's not. That's not the point of the word. I'm just giving you the derivation of it. The point is that this is true. This is real, okay? So we're back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. Sincerity, you know, it's a true, real love. It's not an imitation. It's not even a substitute. It's the real deal. That word is sometimes translated sincerity, like here, but more commonly translated true. And we can see that. I think I'll just turn to one. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul uses it several times in kind of addressing other people. He uses the word in the way that it's meant more literally and less figuratively. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." Okay, my own son in the faith. This is talking about something that's real there, my true son. Okay, uses that word. He uses it again in Titus. He uses it in Philippians as well. So now we're adding to the concepts here. We have this purity of motivation, which is part of it, the way it's used sometimes. And that would be contrasted to having, you know, our excuses, our reasons why, our worldly wisdom that justifies the self and looks to serve the self. We have the concept of purity or singleness, being clearly one and not duplicitous, not having, you know, double-minded or single-minded. And we also have now something that is true, real, genuine. And these bring out some of the definitions that you pointed out for the word sincerity. There's one other word that's translated in the New Testament as sincerity, and this one is, what was it? Aphelotes. And this one, the A in front means without, right? So what are we without? Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. So this means without something. Acts 2 and verse 46 says they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Singleness of heart. So this is a simplicity, okay? This is a simplicity. It means without guile or without duplicity. It's kind of like that singleness, okay? It's kind of that same word, but it's also sometimes translated simplicity. And again, as I pointed out before, it doesn't mean stupidity or inability to understand complicated concepts. It just means you are not complicated. You have simple, real, genuine, pure, motivated mind. It's a purity of intention. So the word sincerity, I've just looked up, there's most of the places where the word is translated that way in the New Testament. And we see that it has a range of meanings. It's not just simply genuine or simply, you know, you can say it's this or that, but it's all of that. It includes all of that. And just to complete the picture, if I might, there are words in Greek that are translated sincere, but not sincerity, so we have adjectives. They shed a little more light on the concept. One of them would be Matthew chapter 6 and verse 22. And this is the word apolous. I can't speak Greek at all. I'm just telling you those things. They're different words. At least I pronounce them differently because that's how I learned them. My program has somebody speaking them who I guess speaks Greek. Matthew 6 and verse 22. You're there and I'm not there yet. And I'm taking most of these verses just out of their context to show you. Occasionally we'll show you the context to see what he was getting at, but we're showing you the words and how they're used in particular phrases. Here he says, and it's also in Luke 11:34, same thing, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, the whole body shall be full of light." Now what does that mean? The eye is single. Doesn't really make sense to us. I'll depart from this for just a second. Jim Johns lent me a book about 3 years ago, and I finally started reading it about two-thirds of the way through, maybe three-quarters, when I just took a trip to St. Lucia to serve some of our brethren down there. And he talks about the fact that we have two eyes, and they see different things, but in our brain they're combined into one. And they call that cyclopic vision or something like that. So we do have one eye in a sense, but it happens in our brain, not with our eyes. But that's not what it's talking about here. It's not talking about a quantity of eyes. That's not what single means. That's not what it means. It means, again, sincere or without guile. The New American Standard says if your eye's clear, okay, it has to do with clarity, not how many eyes you have at all. You know, to have a clear, simple, uncomplicated, unpolluted eye, okay, pure, all those concepts that come in. So that's what it's referring to here. And there's one last one. I got more verses to look at, though. It's let me do it this way. Anipikritos. Anybody figure that one out? Anipikritos? Not a hypocrite. I can't begin to try to speak Greek, but you even pick that up. Not a hypocrite. To be sincere is to not be a hypocrite. So this is one of those no words or not words or a negative word. And that's used a few times in Scripture. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 to begin. And verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, in the King James it says, unfeigned love of the brethren. So again, it's a negative word, not faked. Or the opposite of that, the positive word, be genuine, just like we said. Unhypocritical is genuine. And that's what it means. Without hypocrisy, sincere or genuine. 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. I'll turn to 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 and verse 5, or you could turn to 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. Words used in both places. And used in the same way. When I call to remembrance, Paul's writing to Timothy, the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother and in your mother. Oh, a real, genuine, true faith. Not fake. Not an outward show to hide something underneath. Or an outward show to give an impression of something. You know, but what you see is what you get. Paul felt that way with Timothy. It was real. It was genuine. Excuse me. And, you know, it's connected, by the way, if we look here. It talks about a pure conscience in verse 3. A pure conscience. The idea of purity is also brought in here in a lot of these verses. You know, it ties right in. We don't have a pollution in our motivation. It's clear, it's single, and it's genuine, and it's proper, unselfish. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. We did 8 verse 8, now we're going to do 6 verse 6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost or Spirit, by love unfeigned. He uses that term several times. In New American Standard, translate that genuine, as one of you said. Genuine, not fake. Romans 12, verse 19. There's another one. Verse 9, probably, not verse 19. Let love be without dissimulation. Without dissimulation, okay? Or without hypocrisy, if you have a New American Standard there. So that's, you know, in order to be genuine, you're without hypocrisy. That kind of a truism. Can't help but be true. One final verse, James. James chapter 3. James 3 verse 15, beginning in verse 15. This wisdom, he's talking about godly wisdom, and he says, he distinguishes it from wisdom that is earthly, the sensual, devilish, if we would have read back a few verses. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So that's the way the world works. That's the way our fleshly, natural wisdom works. That's the way our reasons why work, okay? That's a wisdom that's from down here. That's accessible because we're human beings. But there's a wisdom that's from above, and it's different. In verse 17, it says, the wisdom that's from above is pure, first pure, by the way, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, that's a long list. There's a bunch of sermons just right there. But it's talking about that if we're motivated the way God wants us to be motivated by this wisdom that's from above, it's founded in purity. And purity is really, could give a sermon on purity, I guess. But the purity is at the base of all of this. Pure motives, pure heart, pure feeling, pure actions. It really is about purity. So the Greek words that are translated, sincerity or sincere, in our English Bibles, they contain additional nuances of meaning. There's more to it than just what we might think at first glance with the word sincere or sincerity. So when you think about, as you have already this week, but I hope you continue to think about it, as we think about, all right, I've got to get rid of leaven in my life, but what do I replace it with? What do I replace it with? That sincerity and truth, that includes genuineness. Being genuine, being the real deal. What you see is what you get. Not as an excuse. How many of us have ever, don't raise hand, I'm just acting the way I feel. And we feel that's genuine and that's being honest. But what if that's wrong? Okay, it has to be pure. Pure motivation. Not just real. But the real has to be good. Okay? Obviously. So it's not just being genuine. It is being genuine, but that genuineness has to be pure in God's eyes. A purity of motivation. A singleness of purpose. A simplicity. A simplicity. I think that's a good word. Now that I'm getting a little bit older, I appreciate that word more than I did when I was younger. Life gets complicated, doesn't it? But you know what? True Christianity is not complicated. It's not complex, but it does take effort. You have to put out the leaven, and now we know we need to replace it with sincerity and truth, and I hope you have a better understanding of what the sincerity component of that is.